I have a stomach full of pasta. It's a great start to the day. I usually don't record episodes this early. It's like 12 in the afternoon. But welcome back to the On My Mind podcast. I'm your host. My name is Ava. If you're new here, welcome. It's an interesting episode to join because I'm going to be reading your assumptions about me, which makes me a little nervous, but I was excited to do this because I thought it'd be fun. I'm like, what do people perceive me as? I think on the internet, it's always so interesting because you think you see, well, I think it's common that you see someone's life that they post on the internet and you're like, that's the whole story. Like, that's who they are. And that just constantly gets debunked for me. I know on a personal level, when I watch someone on the internet, maybe I follow their Instagram or TikTok, or I'm a follower or subscriber of their YouTube channel, so I see their vlogs and like what they do in their life, I'm like, oh, I know them. And I'll meet them in person, and it's just not like a 180 in a bad way, but there's always so much more to uncover about someone than what they share on social media, because I think social media is such a small sliver of people's lives that they post, not even for content creators, but honestly for anyone. I'm pretty sure that we can all agree that we post what makes us happy. It's a bit of a highlight reel, all of our favorite good moments. And I don't know, like, I know for me, I don't post every single aspect of my life on social media, but I think as a viewer, it kind of feels like that sometimes. And so I'm gonna see what your assumptions are about me, about my life. It's kind of funny because I think in a recent episode, the episode's titled Who Am I? Where I answered like the 26 questions to get to know yourself on a deeper, more personal level. And one of the questions was something like a characteristic trait, I think, that I'm not super proud of. And I said my defensiveness. So this is me saying this in the beginning of this episode. I'm acknowledging that I might indeed get a little defensive in this. If I need to defend myself, I will. Maybe I'll debunk some stuff or confirm. We'll see. I'm excited to see what you all had to say. But I just thought it'd be fun to do because I think maybe this will help you get to know me a little bit better. I guess kind of just uncover more, because even though I feel like I post a lot of aspects of my life, I feel like it's around maybe 50 to 60% of it. And so I think from a viewer standpoint, even for me, like when I watch other people, it leaves a lot left for your own mind to kind of fill in the blanks about how they are or what they do. And you make these assumptions about who they are as people or what their life is like. And it's just never really the full story. So we're going to dive into that today. I'm very excited. I asked you all to make some assumptions about me on the podcast Instagram. So if you want to participate in future episodes, definitely check out the podcast Instagram. It's really cute. It's got a cute little feed going on. If you want to be in future episodes, definitely check that out. But let's get into these assumptions. Like I said, I'm apologizing in advance because I might get defensive, but one thing about me, I will stand up for myself. But like, if something's true, I'll own up to it. I'll own up to my shit. I will. I promise. So anyway, let's get into this episode. I'm very excited. It'll be very interesting, to say the least. All right, starting off strong. This is the first one I see. This person says, you look like you smell really good, like rain and flowers, which might not sound like an interesting assumption, but what I'm about to tell you might be. I will say, when I put in the effort to, I do smell good. And I do get that compliment, yes. But naturally, like if I was left in a natural state, absolutely not. It bothers me so much, but I will get like underarmpit smell so badly, to the point where like I smell myself and I'm like, I put on deodorant, like what is going on? I actually found a really good deodorant that I really love. It's the Lume brand, L-U-M-E, not sponsored. I think they sponsored this podcast a while ago, but I use the unscented one. So it's unscented, natural deodorant. And I've tried my fair share of natural deodorants. I do like Native, but I've been using this unscented one because I feel like when I had too many smells going on, like I had a really intense underarm smell like with my deodorant and then I wore perfume, all the scents would kind of clash. So I've been using that. So it's unscented, and then I'll either use Maison Margiela replica perfume in Lazy Sunday Morning. That smells so good. It smells like Sunday rain, fresh sheets, fresh vibes. That's my favorite perfume. I also have another favorite perfume from the brand, who is Elijah. So I rotate between the two, but that makes me smell so good. However, I don't always smell good. Like after workout, absolutely not. I can't stand being around myself, but I'm stuck with myself. And fun fact, let's just say that there's a reason that Micah's nickname for me, which I didn't want to stick, but it has, is Stinker Bell. Like Tinkerbell, but Stinker Bell. He'll call me Stinker because of this issue that I have. Because if I don't upkeep it, my natural state, I just revert back to that. So if you catch me on a good day, then yes, usually I will. I usually do. But you know, sometimes, like, especially when my hormones are all out of whack, like around the time of my period, my hormones go crazy and everything just smells a lot more intense. And like my body smell changes. I don't know. I feel like I smell good until I don't, and like I start sweating. And I have such sweaty armpits. It's kind of an insecurity because when there's rings on my shirt, there's a reason I don't wear gray. There's a reason why I don't own gray t-shirts, because those like pit stains will just get so large. Anyway, that's that. Also, I will recommend one more deodorant because this one was life-changing. I lost it, so I either need to find it or get a new one. But I saw TikTok about it the longest time ago, and I was like, there's no way this shit works because it just sounded so far-fetched. But this woman was talking about how she's tried every single deodorant, nothing ever worked for her, and then she bought this like crystal deodorant where it's literally a crystal that you wet, so it's like a dry crystal, and it's like in a round shape, and you rub it on your armpits with like wetness on it, and you rub it until it gets dry. I bought it from Amazon. I think there's quite a few brands, but I'm pretty sure any one would do the job. I smelled like nothing. And like even the unscented deodorant still has like a bit of a scent and it's more creamy, but like this left no residue and it was a freaking crystal. Like I don't know how that worked. I was very skeptical up until I tried it for myself, but I was kind of desperate at that point. I was like, I just want to smell good or smell like nothing personally. And so I tried it and that actually changed my life. So I need to find that. I just reminded myself about that. So that's my answer to that. You were smart in high school and university. Well, I didn't go to university. I didn't go to college. I did a few classes and then I stopped and I haven't been taking a class or back in school for like 2 years. But in high school, yeah, I think I just cared about my grades a lot. I never really let it get to like an unhealthy point, but to be fair, I didn't really take any like pre-AP, pre-college courses. Like I had friends and mutuals who took all pre-college courses, and so they had a lot higher level of like stuff to do. I feel like I did well. I graduated with summa cum laude. I think I had like a 3.8 GPA, but wherever I could, I would take easy classes. Like I would take the classes that my grade was supposed to take. The only thing I ever took a grade above was math. And I kind of sucked at math, but then I got good at it when I realized, I don't even know, I actually had a tutor for a bit, which helped. But I would take like higher math level courses. And I think that's where my GPA dropped a little bit. But I don't know, in high school, I definitely cared about my grades. Like I liked the look of an A on a report card. And it's interesting because none of that matters at this point in my life now. Like, not that it didn't shape who I am, but looking back, I'm like, okay, maybe I didn't need to stress out as much as I did, because there was a lot of nights where I would stay up into the early hours of the morning, not get good sleep just to try and study for a test or finish a homework, finish a paper, whatever it was. I don't know. I mean, I think that's just the nature of school. It kind of takes over your life for a bit. Everyone's different. I think some people, their grades matter a lot to them. Maybe it's because you seek validation from whether it's your parents or whoever it is for getting good grades, or you're trying to get into a good school. And then there's some people who, you know, just kind of, they just get average grades and they also turn out fine. I don't know. I think high school is so different from college. Like your grades in high school, well, I don't know. See, I'm not the person to talk about this because your grades in high school help you get into college. But to get back on track here, I was a pretty good student in high school, except my senior year. Well, not that I wasn't a good student, but like I took super easy classes senior year because I was just so over it. And I also did half day. If you had a job, you were allowed to, instead of having like 7 classes, I only had 4. So I would get out super early every day. On Wednesdays, I would literally get out at like 10:30. And then every other day it was like 12:30, which was stunning. My favorite schedule ever. Senior year, I really was just like, okay, well, I know I'm not gonna apply to go to any colleges here. That was already out the window for me because I knew what I wanted to do. And so I really really took it easy. But yeah, someone said, you are a girl's girl. Thank you. I go, I'm glad you think so, because I definitely am. Are there some circumstances where I'm like, oh my gosh, girls just make drive me crazy? Yes, because girl drama is the worst thing to deal with. It's one thing I'm envious of about boy friendships, because I feel like they have it so much simpler. When I talk to Micah about it, he's like, yeah, if something is wrong, we'll either just like forget about it and, or, you know, just like, I feel like guys will just fight it out and then in whatever way, physical or like verbally, and then that's that. But I think girl friendships sometimes are harder because we feel really deeply and we express our love and emotions really differently than I think guys do a lot of the time. So that's when it's hard. But I will say, all of like drama stuff, girl drama aside, I think innately I am, because I just think that we already have it hard enough as it is. Why not just make it easier on everyone and be for the girls? And it's kind of funny. I posted an Instagram story and like a TikTok the other day. I was at a wedding and I caught the bouquet for the bouquet toss, which first of all, I forgot that that even existed. Like I've only ever seen it in movies. When I was at my sister's wedding, she never did a bouquet toss. And so I saw an opportunity and something inside me, when I lined up in this crowd of girls, I was like, ooh, I have a feeling that I'm going to catch it. I don't know what it was, but my intuition was like, it's yours. I was kind of determined to get it. But this girl and I reached for it at the same time. And I think I caught it, but she also had like her hands on it. And so I posted the video of it because my dad and my mom caught it on video, but I tried to give it to her, and everyone in my DMs in the comments were like, you're such a girl's girl for that, like trying to give away the bouquet. And yeah, like looking back at that, I'm like, I don't know. I think I naturally just want to make other people, like other girls, feel good and empowered. So yeah, but when there's girl drama, ooh, it's hard. It's hard. I know you guys get it. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I don't know if you've ever had that feeling when you know something is good for you, but your brain keeps getting in the way. I know I've experienced that a lot in the past. I would know that being social and hanging out with people was good for my soul, and it makes me really happy to be around people I love the most. But there was a time where I couldn't really help but isolate myself. And I think it was just because I was so overwhelmed. I would overthink things a lot. But the crazy thing is, I know it was all in my head because, like I said, I find so much happiness with being around the people that I love. But it's just hard to get out of your head sometimes. But something that has truly helped me in so many different aspects of my life, from friendships to romantic relationships to the relationship with myself, has been therapy. Therapy has done so much good for me, and it's given me a safe place to express myself and help me figure out what's holding me back, kind of get into my own head a little bit and talk it out. By talking to someone, I've been able to get out of negative thought cycles and find tools to overcome things that I was struggling with. So if you're thinking about starting therapy but you don't know where to start, give BetterHelp a try. It's done entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All it takes is a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. I know how intimidating it can be to start, and I love that BetterHelp makes it really easy and it's very accessible. So make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/mind today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/mind. I got a lot that were similar to this, but someone said, you are very confident and comfortable with your body, which I'm glad that it comes off like that. One, because I want to set a good example for other people out there, other girls. But also, I have really gone through the ringer with body image and like body dysmorphia. And I used to be so obsessed with it, not in a healthy way. And I feel like I've gotten to a point where I realized I don't have to be in love with my body, obsessed with it, like hyper obsessed and just like obsessing over how I look and just be so in love with it. But I also don't have to be like hating on myself and being mean to myself. So I'm at a very neutral point where I'm just like, yeah, this is how I look. This is how I am. This is who I am. I'm not dissatisfied. I am definitely like satisfied, but not so much so in a way where I don't know. I still look in the mirror, and it's a really nasty habit that I try to pull myself out of as soon as I see it happening. But sometimes I'll look in the mirror and it's this really sad cycle where like I'll start tugging at my skin or like wishing something looked different. And it used to be a lot worse than it is now. Now I can kind of be like, Ava, stop. Stop what you're doing before you go down a rabbit hole. It's a nasty cycle. And once you get into that mindset, it's really hard to pull yourself out of it. Or I'll really just be like, at the end of the day, your body is just your body. It's a vessel for life. You're healthy. You don't have health problems. That's more of a blessing than I could ever really realize. And I think what really puts that into perspective for me is seeing other people go through health issues, whether they're older than me or the same age as me or younger. It's like, I'm so fortunate to be healthy and have a body that's able to move and do things. And it would just be sad for me to hate myself and hate the way I look. That's entirely unproductive. And that's what I used to do. And I would just be super mean to myself. But I've definitely done a lot of inner work over the last 2 years to be a lot more confident. And I definitely do think that I'm at a very neutral, but like still more leaning towards like happy place with how I look. And how I, honestly, not even how I look, like I really just focus on how I feel, because there's been points in my life where I looked great and then my mental health was shit because of my mindset about it. But now, especially like when I work out and stuff, I've been working out every single weekday and none of it has to do with how I want my body to look. I am focusing on how I feel. I know for me, that's when it gets dangerous, when I'm starting to focus on how I look and looking for results. That has never been productive for me, because if I don't see results right away, I get frustrated and then I just start getting mean to myself. And it's just a vicious cycle that I've really had to learn how to break. But I have come a long way and I am at a point where I'm grateful for my body and I love it. I love what it does for me. Sometimes it's hard when, like, I don't know, something I struggle with is I'm always like, I wear size large in things, medium, large, mostly like large, I guess. And so when I'm like with friends and stuff, they're on the smaller side than me. Like, I'm pretty sure, I mean, all my friends are smaller than me pretty much. And sometimes it does make me feel some sort of way when they can share clothes and like they're all the same size in bikinis and stuff. And I'm like, oh, I wish I could share clothes and, you know, like fit my friend's stuff if I wanted to borrow something. And so sometimes that'll kind of like, I don't know, just make me feel a twinge of weirdness. But I've also gotten to a point where I've just accepted that this is who I am and that's okay. Ultimately, at this point, it's not something I'm actively struggling with. Whereas before in my life, it really was, and it kind of took over my whole life, which wasn't good for me. And now I don't really pay much attention to it, because the more attention I put to it, it just wasn't good for me. And so I know it's good for me now. I like to feel good. And if that turns into like body changes, cool. But that's definitely not my main like priority or focus at this point. But I'm just grateful for my body. And I think that's what makes me feel confident. And also just surrounding myself with other people who are also confident and like lift each other up. Something I always tell myself when I'm getting into a little negative mindset about it. I tell myself, Ava, you do not want to be older one day, be 80 years old, and look back on your life as a young woman, as a woman growing up in her 20s, yada, yada, and regret how much time I spent hating my body or like myself. I don't want to look back on my life and regret that and wish and realize at the end of my life that it didn't really matter. Because when you make it matter so much, and trust me, I've been there, it just takes over in a not good way. And I feel like this topic in general is really sensitive for anyone who struggles with it. My heart goes out to you because I know how difficult it is. I promise you, it doesn't have to stay that way. If your mindset about it stays the same, then it will. But you have the power within yourself, within your mind, to change that. And I don't know. I feel like my little story here is kind of a testament to that. Someone says you don't like little kids. Okay, when they're kicking, screaming, crying, I'm not obsessed with them. No. But I do. Honestly, when I was a teenager, I didn't really like kids. And then now that I'm a little bit older, I do. Especially now that my friends are having kids and like one of my super close friends has a baby. I love babies. I love kids. But, you know, I think it's natural to like get a little annoyed by them at some points. You know, some people just have a gift and they're like kindergarten teachers, first grade teachers, preschool, whatever it is, and they work with kids. So much props to you, because I can't imagine the amount of patience it takes. I feel like at this point in my life, I'm not bothered by them. I definitely like little kids. But I don't know. I'm not one of those people who are, I'm not going to say I'm like bad with children. I don't know. It's definitely been a little bit different lately, especially now that I'm like a little bit more grown up. When I was a teenager, I was just like, you know, not thinking about kids, not interested in them. Not that I'm interested in having children anytime soon, obviously. But I don't know. Now that I'm a little bit older and like I want that for myself one day, like my parents have a goddaughter. She's so sweet, and I'll hang out with her sometimes. We'll make friendship bracelets and play, and it's really fun. She's so sweet. So it's kind of been something I've grown into. I definitely didn't used to enjoy children, actually. Yeah, if I'm gonna be honest, I didn't. But now I do. Ooh, you don't like teenagers who act older than they are. All right, not necessarily that I don't like them, especially if I don't know anything about them. Like, you know, I'm not gonna make assumptions or anything. But I think in general, when I think about teenagers who are growing up in this generation, I was definitely in the generation, like in high school, growing up, being a teenager when social media played a big role, but nowhere near to how it is now. Like, I wasn't in high school when TikTok was a thing and everyone trying to look older. Like, my mom is a substitute teacher and she'll work at the middle school sometimes. And she just says it's crazy how much kids are trying to grow up so quickly these days. And I do think social media has a huge role to play in that. Back in my day, I was playing around with blue eyeshadow, had no business doing that, wearing it with like glitter on my eyes. To me, that was like growing up, wearing a little monkey t-shirt from Old Navy that says Daddy's Girl. And it was like a scratch and sniff t-shirt. First of all, why did they take away scratch and sniff t-shirts? Does anyone make them anymore? Because I loved scratch and sniff t-shirts. That would be an amazing merch idea. And now I feel like middle schoolers and high schoolers are like skipping the awkward phase. Is it a part of jealousy? I'm like, I did not look like that at 13. Why do you look like a grown woman? Everyone's allowed to do what they want to do with their own life. I don't have any animosity towards that. Like, you're allowed to do what you want. But I don't know. Sometimes it makes me sad when people try to grow up too quickly, because once you're grown up, that's it. And your childhood, your teenagehood in the grand scheme is so short, even though when you're in it, it feels so long. But looking back, I'm about to turn 23 soon, but not that I wish I savored it more, because I don't know. I think I was mature for my age kind of always. I was immature in a lot of ways as well, don't get me wrong. But I feel like I was pretty intentional about not rushing growing up, because I kind of realized that once you're an adult, and like, that's it. You're a kid for so many years. Let's say like 10 years out of your life. You're a teenager for another 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And then you're an adult. And you're an adult for the rest of your life. Like, I don't think there's a huge need to rush it. And so sometimes when I see teenagers who act really, I don't want to say grown up, because acting grown up isn't a bad thing. I think maturity is really important. It's really great when middle schoolers or like teenagers, high schoolers, college students are mature. I think that's a great, amazing quality. I think it's really important to have a certain level of maturity. But I think when you're completely trying to kind of skip out on the younger years of your life, I think you end up missing out on some things that, I don't know, those are just years, in my opinion, that you don't really get back. So not that I don't like when people do that, but I'm just like, oh, savor it. But I also understand, because, you know, teenagehood can sometimes suck. So of course you're going to want to get out of it. And now that I have hindsight, I'm like, oh, my teenage years. But like in the moment, I wasn't like, I love my teenage years. Like sometimes I was, but sometimes I hated it. And I think, I don't know, I think it's just a natural part of life. Even though I don't experience a change of seasons where I live, that doesn't mean I don't get excited for fall. It's one of my favorite times of year. I think it's because of fall fashion, dressing cute and cozy. I love some good fall sweaters and dresses and boots, the whole nine yards. But because I'm only able to wear them a few times out of the year, or like when I travel to a colder place, sometimes it's hard to make the full commitment. So that's why I love Nuuly. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Renting from Nuuly every month lets you bring fall pieces into your wardrobe without dropping serious cash. For only $98 a month, you get your choice of 6 styles each month, access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. My favorites include Free People, Madewell, Anthropologie, just to name a few. They have inclusive sizing, fast free shipping and returns, and probably my favorite thing, the option to buy what you love, sometimes up to 70% off. So if you're looking to spice up your wardrobe this season, the Nuuly is for you. You're able to get inspired, get creative, and truly explore your personal style, which is so fun. And you'll definitely be saving a lot. Renting from Nuuly means you'll get to wear more while spending less. You get the fun of shopping without the financial guilt, which is amazing. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code MIND20. Just go to NUULY.com, that's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter code MIND20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with 2 U's with code MIND20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental, change your clothes. You love Dwight from The Office. I've never watched The Office. I know people love it. Some people love it. Some people hate it. Some people think it's the worst thing ever. I love deadpan humor. It's my favorite. So maybe I would like it, but actually I've never watched it. Let me know if I should. I knew I was going to get this one. Your life is kind of perfect. I don't even know where to start with this, because when I look at my social media from like an outside perspective, like when I pretend that I'm just looking at my own page, like I'm not myself, I can 100,000% see why it would look that way. I do have an amazing life. I'm very grateful for it. I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't, because I have a really blessed life, but it is far from perfect. And I don't know, it's always been interesting because I like to keep things very real on my social media. But also there's things that I will never talk about on social media, or at least I don't plan to, and things that are private and just for me, certain struggles I sometimes don't even share with close people in my life. I don't know. I'm a very private person, which is interesting that this is my job to share my life. But it's funny, like most of my close friends, like all of my best friends have always been like, Ava, you're so private. And I think naturally I just am. Not even in a secretive sort of way, but for example, if I'm having a conversation with someone, I don't mind if they talk about themselves. Like I'll keep asking them questions about themselves and I'm almost like, don't feel like you have to ask me anything. Like not because I want to be mysterious. Like of course that's endearing to be mysterious and stuff, but I don't know. I think I naturally like to keep certain things to myself, like to keep certain things for myself, even outside of social media, certain moments that I have, like let's say things that I struggle with internally a lot. I don't really let many people or any in on those kinds of things, except like my therapist or Micah or, you know, whoever I'm leaning on, support, family, whatever it is. And sometimes it's hard because like I said, I do share a lot of my life. And it's not like I'm acting like a different person online. One, because I've been doing this for far too long and that would be a really tough act to keep up. So who I am online is definitely a big part of who I am like in my real life, but it's a fraction of it. And so because I like to keep my social media a very positive and uplifting place, I think that's why it comes across that my life may seem perfect, but I don't know. I struggle with a lot of different things, just like anyone growing up and in their 20s does. I question a lot of things. I question myself. I have really dark days sometimes. I'm not going to sit here and just like feed you all these things. Like, this is me proving to you that my life is not perfect. Like, I don't know. I just want to be honest, obviously, because this is the On My Mind podcast. But yeah, I guess to kind of debunk that, there are aspects of my life that I love and I'm so grateful for. But I don't know. Nothing's really that different from me and you listening. Like, I'm growing up figuring shit out. I just happen to post about it online and I have a following. But other than that, I struggle with a lot of similar things that I think a lot of people my age do. I think the tough part for me, because I do like to keep my platforms a very uplifting space and place for people to come to feel good, I think sometimes it's hard when I'm going through something. I don't want to ever have people feel like, you know, my social media is like downer, but I also don't want to hide things. But sometimes it's not even me just hiding things. Even when I'm going through things, if I'm coming off happy on social media, that's because I do tend to look at like the bright side and seek the bright side of things. Even in my own personal life, when things are hard for me, I will seek joy. Like I will actively, well, sometimes it's harder and I don't, but a lot of the times when I'm going through something, I'll still bring in as much positivity as I can into my life instead of kind of just dwelling in whatever is getting me down. So I guess to answer your assumption here, one, I can see how you would think that. Two, I'm not going to come on here like me talking about what I just talked about is not me seeking pity or anything. And I think that's what holds me back sometimes because I'm like, I don't want people to think I'm just posting this to be relatable. Like, that's not the point of me opening up about things. I'm not trying to be like, oh, she's so relatable. Even if it is great. But I'm not trying to like seek pity or anything, obviously. Yeah, I just think I'm a positive person. I like to seek the beauty out of life and find the beauty in things. And so my social media definitely represents that. It's a lot of happy parts of my life, happy parts that I want to share and hopefully make people feel good through that content as well. I think I'm constantly seeking a good balance with my platforms of keeping it real, sharing, but also keeping what I want to keep private, private because I'm allowed to, but also sharing what I feel called to share if I think it can help someone else. But sometimes things just are so personal that it's not something I would bring online. You know what I mean? As a consumer of social media myself, I love going to it as kind of like an escape sometimes. And, you know, watching someone's vlog of what they did in a day and kind of escaping that way. And I hope I can do that for people too. Because sometimes I think inherently, if I'm someone's going through something and they come to watch my videos, and I'm not talking about things that might be relatable to them in that moment, but maybe I'm kind of just lifting up their mood. That's my goal. I just want to make people feel good. I don't want to make people feel bad that my life looks a certain way, that it's maybe a little different from someone else. But I kind of think that's just the nature of social media, is kind of understanding that what you see isn't always the full picture. And every single person in this world is going through something different. Because I know firsthand in my own experience, and also when I look at friends' social medias and I'm like, oh, wow, they look like they're doing so well. Like, they're posting all these amazing things. And then I talk to them in real life, and there's just so much more to the story and, like, under the surface. So that was a very long-winded answer. Okay, moving on. I'm assuming you have the most contagious laughter and are so fun to be around. Thanks, girl. I actually have the most annoying laugh, and people always point it out. It's, like, a laugh that, you know, it's got a lot of heart, it's got a lot of pep and energy, but it's kind of ridiculous. And I think people either find like my real laugh funny and fun and like uplifting, or you find it really horrendously annoying. It's one or the two. I've experienced both. People are like, oh my God, like shut up. And other people are like, I love your laugh. It's not super often that my real laugh comes out in my YouTube videos or podcast or anything, because I'm not gonna make myself laugh hard like that. But if I'm interacting with a friend or like, Micah, you're so funny. Ooh, there's no holding back. I will like rip out laughs. And so it's funny. I've gotten comments before that are like, Ava, I've literally never heard you laugh like that before. Like, is that fake? And I'm like, no, it's just because I'm interacting with, when I do vlog with other people and it's like real moments that we're having and I leave my laughter in it, it's so jarring. Because usually if I'm just like talking by myself, like how I am right now, or when I'm alone with my vlog camera, I'm not gonna laugh like that. Like, there's no reason for me to. I mean, I think I'm quite funny, and like my internal dialogue that I have in my head is funny, but I'm not gonna rip out a crazy laugh. But when I'm with my friends, totally different story. You're shy around new people. It really depends. I think the kind of personality I have when I'm with other people, I tend to kind of be a chameleon to their energy. So if I'm around someone who's also shy, I'll kind of dial it down a little bit and kind of match that so they feel more comfortable. It's a little bit easier for me. I think when I'm around super high energy people and I'm meeting them for the first time and they just have a huge personality, sometimes I get very nervous and I do get shy around that, because I think sometimes when someone's personality is so big, which is not a bad thing. I think my personality can be big in a lot of ways, but I think I only really let that out around really close friends. Like, I'm not outwardly like that with people I'm not super familiar with or comfortable with, close friends, whatever. But I've definitely seen myself shut down in situations like that and get really crippling social anxiety around bigger personalities. And I don't know what that stems from. I used to struggle with that a lot more deeply than I do now. Honestly, when it comes to situations like that and I feel myself getting very shy, shy does not mean that you have social anxiety. Like, that's a different thing. But sometimes I feel like I get a mixture of both where I'm feeling shy and very socially anxious. And so in those situations, I've kind of learned to just let them take the floor with it. I don't have to try and keep up. That's what gets me really nervous and kind of worked up. But, you know, just let them be. And so that's what I do. But I think in general around new people, it really depends what the circumstance is. I do think in general, I really try to make others also feel comfortable. But I'm not super, I don't know. It honestly really depends who I'm with. There's people in my life who bring out a very outgoing side of me. And there's people who, I don't know, I let them kind of take the reins a little bit. It's a really interesting dynamic, and I'm not even aware of it as it shifts, but it's so different in each situation. I think in business situations, when I'm meeting other creators or business partners, it's a very different situation than meeting someone's friends or something, and I'm meeting a new group of friends. I do think I tend to be a little bit shy. It's interesting. When I'm around shy people, I'll either match that energy, like I just said, or what I'll do is be a little bit more outgoing to kind of ease the mood a little bit and get them to feel comfortable. But then when I'm around super outgoing people, I typically kind of just sit back a little bit and let them do their thing. Honestly, I think it really depends what mood I'm in. I can be very extroverted or very introverted. And it kind of just depends on the day, depends on the weather. I don't know. You don't want kids. I actually do. There was a period where I thought, you know what? I'm cool with being the aunt. Like, I'm cool with being the cool aunt. That was the goal. And then I don't know what shifted inside my head, but I do look forward to having a family one day, which is so crazy. I can't picture it. Like, I can't picture it, but I'm also like, how is that going to be me? Like, I want a family. Oh my God, the idea of giving birth. The fact that that's what it takes. Ooh, women are strong. Whoever gives birth, whoever has ever given birth, I admire you. That is no easy task. But yeah, I do want kids one day. Micah and I are a little different in that way, where he wants a lot of kids. And I grew up with just two of us. And Micah grew up, he had two siblings. There's three of them. But he also just grew up in a bigger family. He has a lot of first cousins and just so much family around him. And I don't have any super close cousins. Like, none of my aunts or uncles ever had children, so I don't really have first cousins. So I didn't grow up in as big of a family. And so I remember we were talking about it. Michael was like, yep, six kids. And I'm like, you expect me to pop, lock, and drop it six times? Excuse me. We've come to a compromise of a number. But also, who knows what'll happen? Like, you really just can't always plan exactly how you want things. Things never really go quite as planned, so we'll see. But I'm definitely like on the lower end of numbers, and he's on the higher, so I don't know what we'll do about that. We'll see. I'm not worrying about it right now. Far too soon. I feel like you'd enjoy a girl's night in more than out. That's pretty much true. It's rare that I get in a mood where I want to be a feral street rat and like go out to different clubs and bars. Sometimes I do. On a rare occasion, I have the itch and I need to scratch it. But ultimately, my first response to like hanging out with friends, I would love a cozy night in or something a little more intimate. I think when you go out, it's hard to kind of have that quality time. And I'm just such a quality time person in relationships, friendships. And I think even though it's fun to go out with your friends and dance and have fun, do that whole thing, come home at like 3 a.m., 4 a.m., whatever it is, I do love something a little more intimate, because that's just my favorite version of quality time, getting to have good conversations. And you can't really do that when you're out and the music's loud and it's dark and, like, you know, you're not really going to a club or a bar to have a deep conversation. But sometimes that's the vibe too. Like, I could really do both, but yeah, you're right. I think my innate nature is to just want like a cozy, simple night in. You don't have a lot of friends. I go, what is that supposed to mean? What do you mean by that? There was actually a period maybe like 2 years ago where I didn't. And I've talked about this a lot of different times on my podcast and social media and like YouTube videos. But there was a time where I very much so isolated myself, wasn't open to new friendships. I would kind of just maintain the friendships that I had, but there were very few of them. But now it's so interesting. I can see why it looks like that, because I really don't post a lot of my close friends. And it's so interesting because I have a lot of new friends in my life, maybe in like the last year and a half, that I've never posted on my social media. So no one would really know that they exist, but they're so special and close to me. It's so interesting. I even just for an example, like I made a really close friend at the beginning of this year. It was Micah's best friend's fiance. And so obviously Micah, one of his best friends. And so I would hang out with him a lot and like his friends, and she would be there. And we got really close over the last few months and we've built a really good relationship, but it's not one that I really like, I don't know, post about. I think my social media at the end of the day, it's pretty much like, it's always just been, I don't want to say all about me because that sounds awful, but you know, it's my YouTube. Like, I'm just vlogging my life. Sometimes, like most of the time, it's just me doing my thing. Sometimes I'll vlog with friends and stuff if it's a vlog like that. But I don't know, I really value the friendships that I have right now. And that friend that I was just referring to, her name's Chloe. I'm a bridesmaid in her wedding. And it's just so interesting. I think about that sometimes. I'm like, I don't even think people realize that I have made a lot of really amazing new friends in like the last year or so. And I'm so grateful for it. And I feel very full. And it's so interesting because I was at such a different place in the past. And I was kind of like a lone wolf. And now I really lean on my friendships and pour a lot of time and energy and effort into them. So debunk, I actually do have friends. Sometimes I get a little overwhelmed because I'm like, wow, I've made so many friends. Like, how am I going to make time for them all? Like, it's actually, you know, it's a good problem to have. This is so niche. Someone said, you read the acknowledgments at the end of every book. You know what? I do, because I want to hear from the author herself. I want to see who played a role in helping them write their book. And I also just want to feel like I'm still reading the book. And sometimes there's some juicy stuff in the acknowledgments. And I think a lot of the times when you just finish a book and you don't read like their process of it, sometimes it gives you a very inside look at why they wrote the book, what inspired them. So yeah, I actually do read the acknowledgments. I read the acknowledgments, but like I don't read the backs of books before I read them. I'm so offended. Let me get defensive. Someone said, you don't know how to swim. Okay. You're right, I don't. Someone said, your parents help you pay bills. Actually, no, which I'm very blessed to say. But yeah, my social media content creation career supports the life that I live, which is amazing. You are completely unhinged. I can be, believe it or not. Like, I know I'm so calm, especially on this podcast. Like, it's very slow a lot of the times and like inspirational. I can be a little rat. I can. Someone else said, you get bad road rage. I do. And it's really, I have to check myself sometimes because I'm like, is this worth it? People can be a little crazy these days. Sometimes it's just frustrating. I'm like, did we go to driver school? But then I'll feel bad. Sometimes I get road rage, not outwardly, like I won't honk or anything or be mean, but you know, someone will be doing something on the road that I'm like, oh my gosh, they don't know how to drive. This is dangerous to everyone around them. And then I go around them or like I pass them later on and it's an older person. And that makes me so sad. I'm like, I'm so sorry for ever having these mean thoughts. But also I think it should be a thing where when you're past like a certain age, maybe we should retake the driver's quiz because I... or quiz by re-get your driver's license and like take the test again, because I feel like that could be a public safety issue, right? Okay, but you were like boy crazy in high school.
Unfortunately, yes.
Oh my god. Okay, I'm gonna end off with this one because hopefully not a lot of people stayed till the end. Like, I hope you did if you're listening. Hi. Because this one's really hard to admit. So I'm hoping that the listenership has dropped off, because then less people will know about this. Someone said, You and Micah use really cringy baby voices with each other. You know what? If that's the key to a healthy relationship, I think it is, because I have this grown 6'4 tall man talking to me in a baby voice. I don't know if he's going to get mad at me for admitting that. But then again, so do I. It's really bad. I would rather sit butt naked on a hot grill than sit here and like do it for you. So you just have to use your imagination, or don't, because it's really awkward to think of me doing that. But yeah, behind closed doors, 100%. And that's how I like it. That is how I like it. All right, those are all the assumptions I'm going to read that you all had for me. I hope you enjoyed this episode, maybe got to know me a little bit better as I over-explained and overshared my thoughts a little bit. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have an amazing rest of your day. If you're in the mood, if you're feeling spicy, I would love if you gave this podcast a review on Spotify. It's super easy. You can just go to my main podcast page, which will be easy because you're already listening to this. Just click on My Mind. Click the little 5 stars. It really helps me out. Or if you're feeling super duper saucy and you want to go on the Apple Podcast and write a little 5-star review, I would really appreciate it. You don't have to. Honestly, no pressure. Totally fine. Up to you. Free will and all that. Thank you so much for listening, for spending some time with me today. I hope you have an amazing rest of your week. And that was Everything on My Mind.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.